Support for Commodity Week comes from the Friends of WILL and from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign. With crop insurance, grain marketing, and commodity brokerage services. Learn more at sfarmmarketing.com.
This is the June 7 edition of Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Commodity Week, of course, is a production of Illinois Public Media. Find us online at WILLAG.org. Our panelists this week include Merrill Crowley from Midwest Market Solutions out of Watsiki, Illinois, Sherman Newland from Risk Management Commodities in Hudsonville, Illinois, John Roach of Roach Ag Marketing out of Boca Raton, Florida, and Dan Zwicker at Zwicker Consulting in Waco, Texas. Dan, let's start with you. What's on your list of items that we should discuss for the week?
Well, I suppose the question of the week is the top end for the year.
We will have you answer that. I assume you have a definitive. Merrill Crowley, from you, please.
Well, the two things we're watching right now is the weather and how that's affecting our supply, and the tariffs and how that's affecting our demand.
And Sherman Newland of Risk Management Commodities.
Well, it's got to be that, you know, the weather is a big factor right now, and, you know, technically how bad this thing is sold off and closed under some major technical support areas. So.
I think I want to start with a topic none of you listed just yet, but the WASDE, or World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates, are due out next week. John Roach, I know you're traveling this week. Have you been thinking and talking about the WASDE figures and how they might reflect on the marketplace and if there will be changes?
I have to be honest with you, Todd. I haven't spent much time thinking about it. It would seem to me that demand numbers ought to all be a little bit bigger. And we've seen supplies come down, and so my guess is that carryover numbers come down, both from the supply side and the demand side. Smaller numbers.
Hey, John, thanks, and welcome to the show. Glad you're here. It's been fun traveling with your nephew this week to what I've been calling the grain elevator tour here in Illinois. I think you've been doing the same thing in Iowa and other states over the past several days. And next week, I'll be with you for a couple of days, Monday and Tuesday, across Illinois. These are really nice programs, and I'm looking forward to traveling with you.
Thanks, Todd. I'm looking forward to seeing you and being there in Illinois, too. The news on the market looks pretty dismal right now, but the things I'll be talking about next week, there is a bright light at the end of the tunnel. And so we'll be talking about the market from a little longer-term perspective and from a much more positive perspective than what we're seeing in the trade today.
Yeah, of course, those who want to catch up with myself and John Roach can do that next week. We'll be on Monday in Fairview, Illinois, Macomb, and Beardstown. You can find all of these up on my website at willag.org, W-I-L-L-A-G.org. I believe all three of those actually are with Western Grain Marketing FS, so you can see those there. And then on Tuesday, we'll be in several different places. If you get the opportunity, we'll be in Ashland, Gibson City, and then up in Diamond with the Prairie Creek Grain Company. So find us there, and I'll be Thursday in my home county where I grew up, there at Hartsburg in Logan County. So catch up with us at that point. Can you tell me a little bit about where you're traveling? I believe you're in Iowa.
I am. I'm in Iowa. I was up near Waterloo this morning, and now I'm about my way down to Des Moines to do a market-to-market TV show tomorrow night. And then, so I've just seen a little bit of the central Iowa area, and it's always dangerous, you know, from the highway to try to judge. But in general, crops look pretty good from the highway.
Let's set the tone for the rest of this program, Dan, since you had the question, is the top end? Do you have an answer?
Well, that's the question you asked me on the Thursday report. So I thought I'd see what everybody else thought. Well, I think it's maybe a little premature. I mean, when you look at statistics, as a rule, by the end of May, only a third of your highs are in place. So there's one chance in three, I would say, that the high is in for the year in both corn and soybeans. If we did post highs during the month of May, this would be the third high in 40 years on December corn. and it would be like the sixth high in November soybeans. So when I look statistically, I have to say that there's still reasonable odds that we can come back and check out those highs we made in May sometime here in June, July, and August.
Any of the other three of you think the high's in?
I don't think the high is necessarily in yet. I think we've got chances for it to come back up, but we may not have much of it.
And Todd, I would weigh in on that. That what's important here is what happens over just this next week or so, because from the weather forecast that I'm seeing, there's a good chunk of the country that's expecting to get a lot of relief and maybe enough water to get them 2 weeks down the road. You know, when you're talking about this, the eastern part of the belt, there looks to be a lot of rain in this forecast the next 2 weeks.
Merrill, anything from you?
Well, it just depends on what model you're looking at there. GFS does have a lot of rain. The Euro model has a decent amount of rain in it. And I think when you come in Sunday night, just like John said, it's going to be an important factor whether or not these rains have started to fulfill. You know what I mean? If they don't match what the expectations are come Sunday night, then I think the market could be up sharply higher. I've been looking for lows right here in the June time period, late May, early June, and they're coming in. And so that has me thinking that we may be looking more at lows. And as I look back in the charts, I don't have a specific percentage number or anything. It just seems like a lot of June lows tend to see July or August highs. So, and then if you look historically, you have about 75% of your highs by, I think, mid-July. So, you know, I guess I would be doubtful that the highs are in, but just glad we've got a setup to where we've got fairly good protection in case they aren't.
Sherman Newland, what have you been talking to producers about? Because I suspect that they're pretty worried at this point about trade as it relates to the Trump administration, how that's been moving the market from one side to the other, whether China will decide to back off on soybean imports at least for a few months from the United States and what impact that might have. And I suspect they're all wondering whether they need to protect themselves or not.
Yeah, I mean, everybody, you know, was pretty bulled up on the forecast going forward. You know, we went up and touched those old highs, and it looked like from the weather forecast that we were probably going to at least hang in there, but, you know, those events changed, and then you don't know what China's going to come up with. I think if something could get hammered out with China, that would be a big help, you know, to get the prices, get a sharp rebound from that aspect of it going forward. But I think for the most part, farmers have been pretty good about getting a lot of cash sold ahead of time, forward contracted. So they're sitting pretty well, you know, right now. Some have bought some more put protections, but for the most part, they're, you know, sitting and waiting, thinking we'll probably see another run up going on down to the summer.
Hey, John, I've been thinking about timing just a little bit, and I know that producers have been told oftentimes by their brokers, by those who are advising them to go ahead and make sales for corn, for soybeans, both for the new crop, and they've done a really good job. And then when I combine it with the thought of where we are, at least in terms of the planting season, we finished ahead. The weather's been warm. That's pushed the growing degree days. And it almost feels as if this is the end of July rather than the beginning of June to me at this point. Does everything fundamentally, and by that I mean the growing degree days have piled up. I think maybe sales have piled up too. Feel a little different this year than they have in the past for the timing to you?
I think this year is different in that so much has been overshadowed by trade negotiations. And I mean, you know, we're in a verbal sparring match with our biggest customer. And we're arguing with our biggest corn customer. So I mean, that to me has changed the dynamics. Other than that, we've really tried to parallel weather. I mean, as they've had weather issues show up in South America, it was fairly quickly represented into the market. As the Brazilian bean crop kept getting bigger, the beans kind of lost their their rally power. And so, you know, I guess I don't see everything, things being very unusual. The concern that I have is we're down here where the market should bottom. And if we come in on Monday and we've got lots of rain around and the forecast still looks good, what are you going to get people excited to get that next rally started? I mean, it would look to me like we're gonna get pressured here pretty hard. We have buy signals on corn and beans, and so we've been doing some buying here, but it's worrisome to me. Things look too good from my perspective on the supply side in America, and things look too slow from the demand side because of our trade issues.
You say you have buy signals. I take it you're not following them then.
Oh, we are some. I mean, if you're a livestock feeder, you need to accumulate corn. You should be accumulating a little bit every day here as we go along. Same way with meal, but that's all. We have some people that are buying calls to cover corn sales and bean sales they made earlier.
Dan, what's this marketing year feel like to you? Is there something in the past that seems similar or not?
Just an observation. The weather pattern, at least right now, is very similar to what it was in 2011. Texas was burning up. The high pressure ridge was to the west. So the Corn Belt got a lot of ring of fire type showers early in the growing season. But then as the growing season progressed, then that heat moved on up into the Midwest, and then the market began to rally. So, I think I would go along somewhat what Merrill had talked. When you come in and start making lows during the first part of June, I think you have a higher percentage that you're going to come back during July and August or maybe the fall. There's been a lot of marketing years that I've worked that you've made June lows and something come along somewhere along the line and you were swinging to the upside during July, August, and September. So, but I have to agree with John, as he mentioned, this next week is going to be real important. But you still have to, July, August weather pattern is still going to be key in finalizing this crop. And big swings in the yield projection can still materialize depending upon what happens during the month of July and August.
Merrill, next week, USDA releases the monthly world agricultural supply and demand estimates. Will it adjust the Brazilian corn crop?
Well, I imagine it will. You know, there's too many figures right now coming out. I kind of hope they'll come up with something more solid because, like I said, everybody's got their figures. And, of course, I got mine if I can find them here. But the Brazil, I think this is a survey from Bloomberg, looking for the Argentine crop to be 32.5 on their corn, the Brazil crop 84.1, and that'd be a little higher than most estimates I've seen. Soybean estimates for Argentina 37.8, and Brazil soybeans 117.3. So that's kind of what the trade is looking for in general with that USDA report.
Anything on the acreage report at the end of the month, Sherman Newland, that you've been considering? Because we're now, you know, mostly complete with the corn and soybean planting across the United States.
Yeah, pretty much. I don't know if there's going to be any really big changes one way or the other. You may get a little bit more bean acres, you know, maybe a little bit less corn acres because I think more spring wheat acres it might have got planted. But overall, I don't think it's going to be a big enough difference to you know, make a difference in the marketplace right now. I think weather and, you know, the weather and everything's going to be a bigger player going forward.
Okay, so we don't have a lot to talk about. Let's talk about how you approach marketing at this point. And I think, John, I'll start with you, simply because I've been out with your nephew, Brian, the last couple of days. And I know something about the key marketing indicators that you've been using. But could you explain how that works? And maybe we'll talk with the rest of you about how you think about marketing a crop, too. What are you looking for, John?
Well, I think I think you have to start with a big overview kind of picture. And I think the one thing the report will show us, the USDA reports will show us, is the big the big surpluses that we've been living with for several years, we have lost them. With the South American crop being hurt and maybe some European losses, particularly in wheat, the big surpluses are gone or rapidly disappearing, I should say. And so we could have some pretty exciting markets if this weather doesn't cooperate during the summer. And then I think from a standpoint of what we've learned to do is we've learned to pay very close attention to an oscillator system. And so as we see various things happen, the first thing we're looking for is we want to have the market overbought. The second thing is we want to get during the right time of year if we can. We'd like to get the price up over USDA estimates. And then the last thing, we want to have the specs heavily long the market. So when we can get those four key ingredients together at the same time, those have been giving us really, really good sales. So we think you just have to be there ready to make sales when the market's telling you to, but think on a little more of a positive outlook. For the last 5 years, if you sold everything ahead, it worked out really well. I don't think that strategy will work in the next 2 or 3 years because we're headed into the tighter supply situation.
Yeah, so the timing and the USDA cash grain number, which it comes out on the monthly, are pretty easy to understand, and probably for the farmers. I'm wondering why it is that you want the specs really long.
If you look at the corn market as an example, the specs were short 200,000 contracts of corn. And from being short 200,000, they went long 200,000 contracts. So it's 400,000 contracts that moved. And there's nobody else that moves through the market that is both a buyer and a seller. So the whatever it is that they bought up to the peak a week ago Tuesday, they're going to turn around and sell all those contracts back out if the market doesn't perform. And that's the process they're in now. That's what's killed the bean market and the corn market this week. It's a spec selling. We're talking about weather, but it's the spec funds that did the most contracts.
Wouldn't the ABCs be both buyers and sellers? Not just getting in and out of the same contract, but wouldn't they be on both sides of the marketplace at some point?
Absolutely. And the problem is that they're on and off and they move their positions and there's you can't track them as easily. The spec fund is in there for only one reason. That's to make money. And they only go into it and then come back out of it. And it's different from the commercial who can move to a different month, who can move the cash early. I mean, the commercial is all the basis together with the futures market, whereas the spec fund is strictly a futures market play.
Sherman Newland Risk Management Commodities have an approach, or do you have an approach to marketing a crop?
I think as a producer, you need to know your cost of production, you know, and then follow a lot of the things, like kind of like what John was saying. I mean, we follow the technicals and the weather, you know, and the fundamentals, and we combine them all. And when the market starts, getting up there, you know, we start picking them off and making some good cash sales and or buying some put options. So it's a combination of a lot of those different things for farmers. But I think first off, you got to know your cost of production. You know, you got to know when to pull the trigger, where you're going to try and make some money and make sure you get some of those bushels sold one way or the other. So I think that's a big way how we look at it.
I can't agree more with what Sharon said as far as, you know, we got to know your production, your cost based on averages. The other thing, though, that goes along with that is as you develop your marketing plan based on that, you have to also understand the tools that are available in the marketplace. I mean, if you don't understand what tools you should be using for what situation, then, you know, it's going to be just strictly cash sales. And like this year, you could end up locking in some pretty poor basis levels at this point in time. So, and if you understand those and you know what you're going to use, you're going to have to understand that it's going to have to be budgeted for so that you can handle the cost. As I sit here right now, I'm looking to get some of these calls bought just like Roach is, with ideas that feeders should get protected and that anybody that sold some crop early can take a stab at some of these prices in here. And it's, you know, this situation, you add 200 bushel to the corn or 200 million to the corn, you take 200 million off, and that isn't hard to do. The price and is going to change significantly. With the beans, 100 million added, 100 million taken off. So things are so tight that you have to watch carefully. But The odds say that if you come down in June, you should see a rally off of it, and you should see it go up into at least July. So that's kind of what I'm playing. That's kind of what I'm looking at with history. The other thing is just watching the weather and knowing a little bit about your weather.
Well, I like to play the statistics. I look at odds, and I play the cycles. I made a pretty good living trading the cycles in corn and soybeans and wheat and other commodities. But for the most part, as a farmer point of view, I think they need to be followers of the seasonal cycle. But when prices reach to a level, if it's prior to when markets normally peak or what the statistics would say, then they need to begin to go in there and cover the rear end, but keep the upside open. So follow the seasonals, follow the statistical odds, but when prices are, if they come earlier at a price level that covers your rear end, makes your farm scour, gets everybody paid, gets all the partners happy, then you need to go in and start protecting yourself. But you want to keep the upside open as long as the odds and the seasonal tendencies would suggest that the market has further advances to go in it.
John, anything to add as you've listened to this conversation?
It's been very interesting. I have a deadline date that I pay attention to, and that's the 4th of July. If we, if you've got a weather issue going, then you're either going to take off and accelerate out of the 4th of July weekend, or else you're done, and you're maybe headed the other direction. So that may be important this year, depending on what the rainfall looks like in the month of June.
I remember, and I think 4th of July is the right date, but Ed Usset up at Minnesota, the ag economist there, has a pretty hard and fast rule, which is thou shalt not carry old crop past July, at least in corn. So there's another rule of thumb. Anything else?
Well, July is one of those months that is like a 80% probability that you're going to close lower during the month of July from the year into June. It's a very strong seasonal down 8 out of 10 years. Now, those 2 years that it doesn't work, those are your short crop years. And then that's a tendency. Then you go into your fall highs. But yeah, John's point of July 4th or July 1st or whatever it is, if we don't have a weather issue going, then you're basically waiting around for the last straw to come around, and that would be an early frost of some kind. And those are really long shots. But yeah, that July is dominantly down. September is also one of those months that's dominantly down as you go into October. So I watch those monthly changes, seasonals, the probabilities of that month going down or up. As I, you know, look at the market and how to trade it.
I take it, John, some of this has to do with the timings on your key market indicators, too.
The seasonality, for sure. We think that's an important part of it. We like to make most of our sales during March through June. We're forced to make some of our sales now. We have a high seasonal market in soybeans and December and January because they're raising more in Brazil. And so, but otherwise it's been that March through June period for a lot of years. Try to get the majority of our marketing done.
Do any of you have many clients in North Dakota, and have they talked to you about how basis for soybeans swing there? I was talking to the North Dakota agronomist, and they have a seasonal that's really unique. Because they'll store soybeans, because just after, because 70% of their 70% of that crop goes out the P&W, and they'll be a dollar wide until after harvest, and then after harvest they'll close almost all the way up, at like 70 cents close, and you make the sale at that point. So a lot of it has to do with knowing what your basis does seasonally too, I take it, John, and that would be much harder because it it depends on what part of the country you're in, as to how grain moves and oil seeds flow, I would think.
Yeah, it's very much a localized situation, and growers would be wise to become friends with somebody who follows those bids in their local area so that they can have a better understanding of that basis. But you're going to have to get it from somebody who's there. And then you have to watch it long enough to start to understand how it moves and what causes it to move. So it takes quite a little bit of research to become a good basis trader, but it's very rewarding.
Let's wrap it up. We'll get a final word from each of you. I think Dan Zwicker will start with you this afternoon.
Well, I'll start off with, I know that the trade situation with China and Mexico and Canada is all kind of up in the air, but I feel fairly confident that those countries can't afford a trade war with us, and I think Donald Trump will get them to come our way before it's over with, and I think we'll have a solid demand underneath this market as we go in later this year and early fall.
Merrill Crowley of Midwest Market Solutions.
I think next week's going to have a several different situations that are going to determine whether or not market lows come in. You're going to have your the June 12th USDA supply-demand report, followed by the June 15th deadline where Trump promises to put his tariffs into place. And then beginning of the week, you're going to have whether or not you've received significant moisture over the weekend and how the weather patterns might change.
Sherman Newland from Risk Management Commodities.
Yeah, I mean, you got to remember, it's going to be a long summer. We got a lot of weather ahead of us. I agree with Dan. I think the China and NAFTA and all these things are more than likely will eventually get worked out. The demand is going to be there. I think you got a good demand base. And, you know, there are some weather forecasters out there calling for a very, very hot July and August time frame. So, you know, if we are down next week, maybe we look at that as buying, using an opportunity to get some calls bought if you want to re-own some of your previous sales. But I got to think that we got to have some higher prices again later on this summer.
And John Roach from Roach Ag Marketing.
Todd, I think in these last few weeks, we just had some really important economic news. The jobs report that came out last week was phenomenal. There's talk that we may have a GDP something north of 4% positive growth coming up in a near-term quarter. These kind of economic growth spurts and so forth, we haven't seen anything like this for a long time. Remember, we came out of the second worst depression ever. I mean, that's where we started this whole economy. And here we are 9 years or so into it. And now we're talking about maybe one of the best economic years we've ever had. We haven't seen a market with good economic environment for a long time. So the thing that I think growers have to keep in mind is that give these markets some room if they start to run. If we come in next week and we don't get the rains that they're talking about, or we get something settled with China or other traders or something like that, and the market starts to run, understand that we haven't seen big markets for a while. And we're on the cusp of a big market if something goes wrong on the supply side or the demand side comes alive.
Commodity Week is a production of Illinois Public Media. Find the whole of our program online at willag.org, willag.org. Our thanks go this week to our panelists, including Merrill Crowley of Midwest Market Solutions out of Watseka, Illinois, Sherman Newland from Risk Management Commodities in Hudsonville, Illinois, Dan Zwicker at Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas, and a special thanks to John Roach of Roach Ag Marketing out of Boca Raton, Florida. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.